Good morning, Cornerstone. All right. Welcome to Cornerstone this bright, crisp morning. It is warming up. It's going to be warmer this week, guys. So it's good to be together. We're going to sing these songs. These songs, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to show you my hand right now. These are songs I picked last week in case he couldn't make it because of the snowstorm. We weren't sure what was going to happen last week, so I had a backup plan. I'm like, you know what? So I picked some songs that are kind of easier for me to play because, like, I've known them for a long time. But if you guys are kind of new around here or new to Jesus, these might be older songs for you. You're like, I don't know those songs. So some of you have been around the church for a while. You'll know them. If not, like, they're maybe 10, 15, 20 years old maybe. But anyway, I like them. Hopefully you like them. But we're just lifting our voice to God. He's holy. He's worthy. And we come together. You guys have sacrificed. You got up in the morning. We have a 9 o'clock service. Some of you are sitting in bed watching, and that's okay. We welcome you guys too. But you guys are here, and we just want to lift our voices up to the worthy, holy God who loves us more than we can imagine. And that's a reason to sing. It's a reason that we got some good reasons to sing. So some of you guys are here for the first time. Some of you have been here for a while. We welcome all of you. Wherever you're at in your walk with God, if you're still trying to figure things out, that's all right. You're welcome here. So would you rise to your feet, if you're able, and sing with us, Holy, Holy is the Lord.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He. Together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. Glory, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. And it's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. All around is the anthem of the Lord's renown. Together we sing, everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Holy, holy is He. Lord Almighty.
God, you are holy. You are almighty. You are so much bigger and grander and greater and more powerful than anything or anyone we could possibly imagine. And yet you sent your son as a baby to become one of us. God, thank you for your incredible power and might and majesty and your incredible love and devotion to us and your intimacy. God, we love you. And thank you that we can sing and worship and enjoy being in your presence together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to sing another song now, but we sang this, the earth is filled with his glory. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There's nobody who's not seen the glory of God. If they have eyes or ears or senses of any kind, you can see the glory of God. So think about it for a second. Where's a place you've been where you're just put in awe of God's glory? Like, this place is amazing. One of my favorite spots in the world is Yosemite National Park. I was standing on that top looking out over Half Dome, right? I was on the other side, like, it's crazy. And it was just, oh my goodness, God made this for us. Like, what do you think of? Where have you been? You're like, wow, God, that's awesome. Let me hear from you. Some of you like to be in nature. Some of you are like, behind my computer in my office. Like, I saw the screen. Like, I like some of those pictures that show up on my Google. Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Lake Tahoe. Bucket list. I want to go there. Grand Canyon. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. All this stuff, God was like, he's forming the earth for us, guys. He did that for us, all those things. So let's just sing about his amazing grace. Can we do that? Who is this we're singing to, guys? Who is this?
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings.
There's no one like him.
Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Whoa. Jesus, I sing, Lord, all that you've done for me.
Think about what he's done for you.
Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Justice shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. Lord, all that you've done for me.
He's worthy, amen. He is worthy, the Lamb who was slain.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King
who conquered
the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Jesus,
worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Whoa, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. All that you've done for me.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, he's worthy. It's good to sing with you guys. It's good to sing together. Lord, we love you. Thank you that we can sing. Thank you that you've given us voices. You've given us hearts that can connect with you. God, I pray that each person here will have a genuine connection with you today as we sing, as we open your word together, as we engage with each other. God, may we connect with you. God, may we walk with you. Thank you for wanting to walk with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Good. It's good to sing together, guys. So we have a question of the day. We're going to dismiss the kids third grade and under downstairs to Children's Church. Question of the day is this. At what temperature does it start to feel cold to you? And for me, it's 62 degrees. I found that out yesterday. I had a four-hour training session in the basement of Trinity Church, and the heat wasn't working. It was 62 degrees. I was cold. 62 is mine. How about you guys? Share that with somebody near you. Kids, head downstairs, and we'll be back together in just a minute. All right, everybody. It's good to be together. Today is January 26th. You know what that means? It's almost February, right? January is almost over. It's almost February, and then comes March, then comes April. Some of you guys really don't like the cold. I like to ski. I like the winter months, but I know. It's okay.
It's been really cold. So I wonder, what's that?
Yay spring.
Yay spring. Yay spring. All right, so just kind of a simple question, guys, to start off. What are your hopes for this week? Not what's your hopes for, like, your life for, like, 10 years down the road, but this week, next 7 days, what are your hopes? Just think about it for a second. What are you hoping for? What are you living for? Some of us, like, we have trouble seeing beyond survival, right? I just have to get this done. I got to point A to B to C to D, and hopefully I get it all done. I was kind of feeling that 2 weeks ago, just all of the responsibilities that I had going on, and my day planner is a written planner. I write all the stuff in, and it's just like starting to overwhelm me, like, okay, like, I just felt like this rising tide, and there are chains wrapped around my legs, and it's just going to keep going. I started thinking, okay, how am I going to get all this done? And when how's everything going to fit in? What can I cancel? You ever get to that place where, what can I cancel because there's just too much stuff going on? What can I get out of? I was there. And what I noticed is as my internal stress level rose, my patience toward other people dropped. And my ability to see kind of the way God sees things almost disappeared. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? You just are in survival mode, just trying to make it. Happened to me again yesterday. I just scheduled too much stuff in the day and not enough time. So you guys, most of you have been there. Some seasons, your biggest hope is to survive the week. There's some kind of a gap you can see out ahead, 4 days, 3, 5 days ahead. Just got to make it to then. And I can take a nap or something, right? I take naps on Fridays. By like 9 a.m., I'm taking my first nap. It's great. Fridays are the day that I'm like, oh, I can make it to Friday. All right. Maybe you're here. You don't have a ton going on. Your biggest hope is to escape the boredom. We have one young man here who broke his foot recently. He's not allowed to go to work, not allowed to drive. He's got to sit at home all day long. Boredom, right? Maybe some of you are in that spot, like, ah. What are you living for? What are you hoping for just this coming week? What are you chasing? What are you pursuing? Some of us are stuck chasing the dollar. Got to make more money. Entertainment. Some of you just want to stay warm. Just got to stay warm. I can't get my hands warm, right? So I brought a prop today. It's really technologically advanced. You're going to have trouble understanding what this is. Right, okay. So what is it? What is this thing here right now? Piece of paper? No, it's actually a trick question. This is your life. This is your life. This is your work and your obligations, your commitments, school, assignments, stuff you got to do, your to-do list, shopping, TV, whatever. This is your life on the surface. Okay? This is your life on the surface. Responsibilities, obligations. And we can squeeze a lot into this. Sometimes we squeeze too much into this and we end up missing something because this is only two-dimensional. Long, wide, but there's no depth to it. This is your life on the surface. Okay, look at it this way. And the reason I'm using this to describe our lives is because there's more to life than this. Our lives are 3D, not 2D. But sometimes we get stuck in the 2D and we put too much stuff in the 2D that we can't actually understand or acknowledge what else is going on because this is where God is. This is where meaningful relationships are. This is where life change happens. This is where these insights happen. I'm reading a book and like, wow, God is teaching me something. This is where eternity is and where God is. And yet sometimes we're stuck here. Does that make sense to you guys? You with me? You understand 2D versus 3D life? A lot of you are nodding yes. Okay, so I have some of you at least. But guys, there's more to life than work, eat, play, sleep, repeat. There's more to life than that. And God has given us this treasure to help us understand the 3D, to help us see it, to help us grasp it, to help us live in it. So as you think about your hopes for the week, are they 2D hopes or are they 3D hopes? Like, what are you thinking about? What are you chasing? What are you wanting this week? Two D is school and work and maybe investments or social acceptance or entertainment, politics, the latest show. I mean, maybe you're binge watching. You're like, I just can't wait to get back to this show because it's got me hooked. Are your hopes for this week attached to the 3D world of spiritual treasure, spiritual warfare, eternal realities, divine appointments? Because I'll tell you what, God's 3D world is a lot richer and deeper than the endless cycle of work, eat, play, sleep, repeat. So we want to not be stuck there. So my prayer for you today is that God will use his word to blow away some of the dust and the fog that surrounds the 3D world. It makes us not able to see it, so you can see more clearly and be more aware and get more excited about the 3D world and really the bigger story God has written you into. We can just follow our own little story, our own little life from birth to death and retirement and things like that. Or we can recognize there's a bigger story and we are part of it. We are part of God's bigger story. So we're studying the very beginning of the story, Genesis, right? This is the beginning of the story from the days of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. Today we get to look at Adam's family tree. Adam's family. Who are the first people? And we're going to look at from Adam to Noah. This is the genealogical record from Adam to Noah, the family history. So most people read this in the Bible like, okay, skip that. And we're like, let me find something more exciting. But we're... Yeah, right? We're not going to skip it. We're not going to skip it. So you're like, I came to church to come here to genealogies? Are you kidding me? Yeah, it won't be a waste. It won't be a waste. God's word is not a waste. It's here for a reason. So if you're here for the first time, they preach about that genealogies. Okay, let's look at it because we're going to find some pretty eye-opening gems in the genealogies that can help us go from here to here. That's what I'm seeing, what I'm understanding, and hopefully it can communicate to you also, and you can get it. Whether you're here in person, whether you're here online, I know there's some people watching online, so we welcome you too. Genesis chapter 5. Open up, see what you got, use your Bible app, use your hand physical paper Bible, whichever you've got. Genesis 5, let's take a look at this thing. This is the written account of Adam's line. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And when they were created, he called them man. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. After Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Adam lived 930 years and then he died. Is anybody engaging with this? 930 years. That's a long time. Keep going. When Seth had lived 105 years, he became the father of Enosh. And after he became the father of Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and then had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Seth lived 912 years and then he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he became the father of Canaan. And after he became the father of Canaan, Enosh lived 815 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enosh lived 905 years. And then he died. When Canaan had lived 70 years, he became the father of Mahalalel. Everybody say, Mahalalel. Yeah, okay. You read that and you're like, I'm not reading that. Right? And after he became the father of Mahalalel, Canaan lived 840 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Canaan lived 910 years and then he died. When Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he became the father of Jared. And after he became the father of Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Mahalalel lived 895 years and then he died. Anybody bored yet? Bored? Like, come on. We're going to keep going. All the way to the end. When Jared lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. And after he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived 962 years, and then he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. Something different there. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he became the father of Lamech. And after he became the father of Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years, had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Methuselah lived 969 years, and then he died. He's the world record holder, by the way, 969 years. Anybody want to live that long? Yes. Come on, 969 years. Bring it. Finish up here. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he had a son. He named him Noah. And said, he will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed. After Noah was born, Lamech lived 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Lamech lived 777 years, and then he died. After Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Okay. You made it. We made it. Why would we commit an entire Sunday to looking at Adam's family tree? Yeah, right? Why? Like, what are you doing? The flood is what's next. Can't we move on? Let's get on with it. That's a little more exciting. But I can't, guys. I can't. I can't because as I study this chapter, there's a lot of stuff in here. You're like, what are you talking about? There's a lot of stuff in there. I've actually really enjoyed slowing down in this chapter this week. Like, believe it or not, there's some other genealogies that are like, no, it's the same exact thing, person after person. But there are some differences in here. There's some stuff in here that's worth stopping for. For instance, how about how we just start with the obvious? Did Adam really live 930 years? I got some people saying yes. And if you've grown up in the church, you're like, yes, but if you haven't grown up in the church, guys, you read that, are you kidding me? 900, you expect me to believe that somebody lived 930 years. I mean, come on, is anybody else a little dumbfounded by this or maybe even a little skeptical? Some of you are like, no, of course he lived 930 years. Like, let's engage with this. Let's think, let's get some perspective, okay? If Adam died today, and had lived 930 years, what year would he have been born? Do the math, plug it in. 2025 minus 930, minus 930, what do you got? You got a clicker that doesn't work. Okay. What do we got? 1895. 2025 minus 930 is not 1895. Oh, okay, now we went too far. 1095. 1895, 1995, 20, that's like 200. 1095, guys. Think about this. Adam would have been born in 1095 to die this year. What all would he have experienced in his life? He would have been born during the Dark Ages. He would have experienced the Crusades. The Crusades, guys. 1100s. He could have lost loved ones in the bubonic plague, Black Death, 1300s. Adam could have owned one of the very first books off the printing press, Gutenberg, 1440. He could have sailed on the Mayflower, crossed the ocean. Guys, think about this, 1492. He could have experienced a Protestant Reformation, or I like to call it the Protestant Reformation. They were protesting. It's a Protestant Reformation. 1500s. He would have been through the Industrial Revolution, 1760s. The birth of America, 1776. The Civil War, 1861. He could have driven the very first car. 1885. Could have taken a ride on the first airplane ever. 1903. He could have fought World War I. Could have stood in the food line during the Great Depression in 1929. Could have taken shelter in a bunker during World War II. Could have seen all the highways and airports developing in the early mid-1900s. He would have lived through the 60s. He could have eaten the very first McDonald's hamburger. Could have owned the very first computer. Maybe not owned it. Could have seen it. Or the first cell phone. That's a picture of Adam, guys. No, not really. Think about this. If Adam died in 2025, he would have lived through every single president of the United States in his later years. 930 years. Born in the dark ages, raised, died in the information age. Talk about changing times. Guys, isn't that mind-blowing to think about all that history? Now, history was different back then, and maybe not quite as rapid of change, right? You're thinking, like, they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have all that stuff. Right. But still, this is a long, long time. So I just want to honestly look at it. Is this for real? Did he really live that long? For all these people, when Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. And then he lived 800 more years. That is mind-boggling. Are we supposed to believe this? You guys, why? You're my pastor. Who make you question that? How could Adam possibly have lived 930 years? I did some research. I plugged it into Google, and AI told me how. So I'm going to share with you what AI says about this question. It's interesting. It's not the Bible, okay, guys? It's not the Bible. This is what AI says, which is interesting. AI suggests, it talks about what different people say, and it says, it talks about the ideal environment. Some scholars believe that Adam and his descendants lived so long because God created a perfect environment for humans. The environment was free from sin and decay. So I throw in, is that true? Originally, the environment was perfect, free from sin and decay. Not all 930 years. So the environment may have been different. The lifespan of a living creature is more dependent on its environment than its design. Yeah, question? Right. Yeah. Yeah, the environment before the flood. If you read the Bible, it describes a canopy of water surrounding the earth. And if you think about what a canopy of water would do, it would create a greenhouse kind of situation for us. It would block off the sun's radiation. It would protect us from certain things. So the environment could have, would have, what, according to Genesis, it was actually different. And after the flood, that changed. So yeah, different environment. Good point. Valid. So it kept going, gave us a number of different things to think about. Adam was made to be immortal. That's what AI says. Actually, it's true. He was made to be immortal. Some say Adam and Eve were made to be immortal before sin. Yeah, the Bible says that. Sin broke the covenant relationship with God, which led to death. There's actually some truth going on here with this AI. What else did it say? God limited human lifespans. This is also true. Some say, God, because AI is not going to make any commitments, but some say God limited human lifespans to prevent humans from doing too much damage with their sinful lives. Genesis 6:3 says, "My spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years." God created a barrier, according to Genesis. You're not gonna live forever. No more of this 930 years business. He changed that. The last thing it said, lifespan shortened after the flood. Some researchers say that lifespan systematically dropped off after Noah, who lived to be 950 years old. And after the flood, like Craig was mentioning, lifespans dropped. If you want to dig deeper into that, lifespans dropping and stuff, look up this article. It's from the Institute of Creation Research. You just look up, did Adam really live 930 years? And one of the top hits is the Institute of Creation Research. If you're into science and stuff, Rick Hadley, this is for you. I know you're sick today, but you're probably watching. There's a graph about the decay curve. Like, because of decay, because of mutations, it talks about the science of mutation accumulation, and it's a scientific reality. And then you look at it in how the ages dropped after the flood, and there's this curve that just goes like that. And today, we all live-ish to the same point, 80, 90, unless we get sick, unless something else happens. But yes, it's possible that the environment was different, that people were made different, the genetics were different. And even today, guys, there's some plants and trees today that live thousands of years. You know that? I got to see some of them. My family went to California. We saw the bristlecone pines in California, in Inyo National Park. Some of those trees are between 2,000 and 4,800 years old. 4,800 years old. We got to see them. When I was in Israel, I got to see some olive trees that probably were there during the time of Jesus. The way olive trees work, they just keep shooting up new branches and they wrap around each other and some old ones die, new ones grow, and they just keep going. So just because things are the way they are today, nobody here knows a 900-year-old person. There's no such thing today. Just because there's no such thing today does not mean there was no such thing back then. Things were different then. Things are not the way they are. As sometimes science makes this presumption that things today are the way they always have been, so then we can make these judgments and measurements and all these things. But what if it was different? It was different. It was different. And because of that, the environment and the makeup of people, longer lifespans were possible for people and probably everything else. Think about reptiles. They never stop growing. What do big, huge reptiles look like? Right? Anybody tracking with me? Right? Dinosaurs, right? Right? Okay, so that's AI and that's science and stuff. But let's just put it this way. If we can accept the idea that an eternal God created the universe and everything in it, this eternal God, almighty, all-powerful, and he chose to be part of our world, and he made the laws of nature for our good, for our usefulness. If we can believe in a supernatural God, can't we believe in just about anything? If he says he did it, like why do we have to think that we're smarter than God? They're like, nah, you couldn't do that. Could God make somebody live 930 years? If he can speak the universe into existence, why would we have trouble believing that? Right? Things that are the way they are today are not the way they always have been. So here's a little bit of why this matters. Back to your meaningful 2D life, right? If you want any hope of seeing beyond your 2D world into God's bigger story, you have to believe. You have to believe it's all true, all of this. If you want to get beyond this into more meaningful God's world, God's story, you've got to believe that it's true. What he has said, including Adam living 930 years. Because think about it. If you can't believe the first book of the Bible, and there's so much stuff in Genesis that's like, scratch your head. Are you serious? Really? Did that actually really happen? There's so much in Genesis that's like that. If you're going to throw suspicion on the first book of the Bible, why would you believe the rest of it? The first book and the last book of the Bible are the weirdest books in the whole Bible. And so we wonder, well, is it really true? But guys, that's part of the enemy's tactic. Same tactic he used in Genesis 3. Did God really say? Did God really say that? You can't believe that. Use your brain, man. Think for a second. Oh yeah. Maybe it's not true. All right. Guys, why would we fall for the suggestion that we're smarter than God? We are not. We're not. God isn't lying to us. God is rescuing us. If you want to experience God's 3D world, you got to believe what he says. You're not going to get anywhere without that. In the New Testament, Hebrews says this, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You will get nowhere without that. We've got to believe. We got to believe. And this is true. It's true, all of it, even the weird stuff. It's true. So that's where it starts. If I want to get past that 2D world into the 3D where God is most at work, I got to believe it's all true. Second thing, I've got to embrace that I can know God. I can know God. Maybe this seems simple. Maybe this seems elementary, but it's really important. And we see a gem tucked into Genesis 5 when he begins to talk about this guy named Enoch. Chapter 5, verse 21. Think about the pattern we read. It's like same thing over and over and over again, but you get to Enoch and it's different. It's not the same thing. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. Yeah, that's all the same. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. That's very different from the pattern that all the rest of the people followed. Very, very different. Enoch's a guy we know next to nothing about. Hardly anything. He's mentioned in the New Testament. He shows up here. He's tucked away in the middle of this genealogical record. But his account is different. And it matters. All the others lived, had kids, and died. 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 Adam, 130 years. Seth, more 800 years longer. Then he died. Seth, 105 years. He had Enoch. Then he lived 807 years, then he died. They lived, they had kids, they died. Enoch lived 65 years, had Methuselah, and he walked with God 300 years. He walked with God 300 years, and there's no mention of his death. Like, well, he was no more. That means he died, right? Verse 24, Enoch walked with God, then he was no more because God took him away. He didn't actually die. Like, yeah, right, everybody... If you can believe in a worldwide, a universal, omnipresent, all-powerful God to create the universe, Enoch didn't die. Whoa. Everyone else in the genealogy lived, had kids, and died. Part of it is showing you this curse is going to lead to death. It did. Took a long time, but they all died. Except that one guy. This one guy, Enoch. Hebrews 11, remember the verse I just read before? Without faith, it's impossible, please God. You know what it says just before that? The very verse before that mentions Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. If you were wondering, Hebrews says he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. No question about it. God did not judge him. He's not like, you're going to turn into smoke. No, he took him away because he was commended as one who pleased God. And the very next verse says, oh, and by the way, you want to please God? Without faith, it's impossible. You come to God, you got to believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Enoch walked with God. Guys, that's 3D. You walk with God, you're in the 3D world. And in their world, in that world, it had become haunted by the curse of Genesis 3, right? It's no longer normal to walk with God. That's not the pattern. This is the exception. But Enoch did. They had no scripture that we know of. There were no prophets walking around saying, this is what God says. Jesus coming was way off. And yet this guy walked with God. Humans were designed by God for connection with him. We're made to walk with God. We're not like the animals. We're not. I don't care if you love animals. That's fine. That's great. But we're better. We're different. We are built different from animals. We're not the same. You believe in evolution, we're all the same. You believe in God, we're not the same. We have an awareness of the spiritual realm that animals don't. We can know God. So Enoch is hope. He gives us hope. If he could walk with God in that world, in that environment, think about how much more we have going on for us today. We have the complete word of God, all this God has told us. Jesus came in the flesh. He purchased freedom from our sin on the cross. The Holy Spirit's been given to all who believe. And Jesus promised this in John's gospel. I love this, guys. If anyone loves me, he'll obey my teaching. My Father will come to him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Guys, I love that. We, Father and the Son will make our home with you. You love me? You follow me? We're going to make our home with you. So if Enoch could walk with God way back then, we certainly can today. Embrace that. Don't just give it a nod. Yeah, okay, I can walk with God, but do you? Will you? Are you? I can know God. And if you embrace that, that's going to open your eyes to a different kind of hope, different kind of purpose than the typical 2D middle class life. If your dreams are middle class and it's about economic status or achieving something, it's flat. It's not going to satisfy. I can know God. So think about your hopes, dreams for the week, the next 7 days. Is getting to know God part of your hope for the next 7 days? I want to get to know God better. I want to walk with God this week. Look at your calendar. Maybe you got a digital one. Maybe you got an old-fashioned one like me. Is getting to know God part of your calendar? Is it in your schedule? Right? Look at that. Is it in there? You can walk with God, but will you? Are you? That's the second thing. Third thing, one more. In this genealogical record, okay, question. Genesis chapter 5, the very beginning. Who does this start with? Go ahead, look at it. Who does this start with? Huh? You're like, I'm not stepping into that. Right. I mean, it's the record, the account of Adam's line, but it actually starts with God. This record starts with God. Look at the first three verses. This is the written account of Adam's line. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And when they were created, he called them man. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. There's an interesting fact here that you wouldn't know if you didn't study the original language. This was written in Hebrew initially. And the interesting thing is the word for Adam and the word for man are exactly the same word. Exactly. And I was digging. I was like, is it really exactly? Is there some kind of nuance? There's vowels in Hebrew. Sometimes it can change things. And the vowels are the same. The consonants are the same. It looks exactly identically the same. Adam and man are the exact same words. So you could look at this and change those words. You can't see my little circles very well. But okay, this is the account of Adam's line. When God created Adam, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And when they were created, he called them Adam. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. So what I want you to see is it started with Adam. God created Adam in his image. And then Adam had a son in his own image. That's important. There's something going on. There's something being passed on. We were made in the image of God. And the third thing I want you to take home today is this. If you want to see beyond the 2D world into 3D, you have to become. Become. My design and my destiny is to reflect God. My design and my destiny is to reflect God. Adam was made in the likeness of God. The image of God. It's the same thing he said in Genesis 1. All right, there's a reason he said it. There's a reason he repeated it. He wants us to know we were created in the image and likeness of God. And then when Adam has a child, for the first one, he says, Adam had a son in his own likeness, in his own image. Same wording. So the image of God that was built into Adam was passed on to the next generation and the next. And the next. And if you grew up in the church, you've been in the church for very long, you're thinking, we're thinking, the sin nature was passed on from Adam. I sin because of him. It goes all the way back. And that's true. That's not false. The curse of sin, it came from Adam, passed it down to all of us. And then we had kids, we pass it on to them. Thank you very much. We all do it. We can't help it. But what was also passed along? The image of God. The image and likeness of God. You were made in the image and likeness of God. So we're kind of made in two images, right? Directly, we're made in the image of our parents. Sometimes we look like our parents. Sometimes we act like our parents. Sometimes we want to, sometimes we don't. Some of it's by genetics. Some of it's by learned behavior. We are made in the image of our parents. That's what he says about Adam. Adam had a son in his own likeness. But indirectly, through the generations, we're also made in the image of our original parent, the one who made us. We are made in the image of God. The image is obscured by sin. It's hard to see sometimes, but it's there in every single person on the planet. Everyone. Every human being is made in the image of God. That's why human life has more value than animal or plant life. We're made different. We're created in God's image. It's our design. It's our destiny to reflect him. That's 3D stuff. To reflect the image of God. And it's actually this truth has the greatest potential to move me out of 2D monotony into the 3D life Jesus wants us to experience. I need to understand that. My life isn't just about me. I'm part of a bigger story. I have a part to play in God's story. I have an important, you have an important part to play in God's bigger story. Does that capture you? Is that something you want? Like, I want that. Are you happy with the 2D flat surface life? Or do you want more? I want the 3D life. That's what I want. We get stuck here. We put too much stuff into here that we don't have room for the 3D sometimes. We got to make space for it. But I want to be part of the bigger story. So think about this. How clear is the image of God in you? How clear is it? Can you see it? Can you see that you're made in the likeness of God? Can other people see God in you? Or are there some things covering that up? When they look at you, they don't see that. They see something else. Because what I want is for the image of God in me to become more and more what other people see. Sometimes they see a jerk, an impatient guy who's not sensitive to other people. That's my selfishness. That's not image of God. So I want God to help me clean off the dirt, the smears, the caked on corrosion of sin, selfishness, so that people can see in me what God originally designed me to be. That's what we want to get back to. So how do I get to that? How do I get to that place where people see God in me? They see that person was made in the image of God. Where unbelievers would be like, there's something different. They're shining. How do I get there? Genesis 5, walk with God like Enoch did. Walk with God. How do you walk with God? How do you walk with people? You schedule it. You get together. You walk. There's three people in my life that I walk with almost every week. Three guys that I walk with. And when we walk, we talk. We talk about life. We talk about stupid stuff. We talk about embarrassing stuff that happened. We talk about good things, bad things, spiritual things, all the things. We just talk about life. Do that with God. Walk. Walk with God. Share life. Schedule it. Make time. Open up his word. Listen to what he says. Talk to him about it. Literally go for walks with God. Anybody go for walks with God? Yeah. There's one. Okay, so 99 of you can start going for walks with God, right? Go for a walk. Share life with him. Let him, bring him into your day and let him walk with you through your day. Let him walk with you through your day. The more you walk with God, the more the 3D you're going to start to see and experience. But I do need to issue a warning. There's a warning for this, because if you start to walk in the 3D world, it's not all daisies and buttercups. It's not. There's a battle raging in the spiritual world that you can't see on the flat surface. There are dragons and demons that want to destroy you. It's a battle for human souls, your soul. And the more the enemy can keep us distracted with this, the better off he is. He's winning. if he's got us living for this, he's winning. Because the more aware we are of the 3D world, the more dangerous we become to the enemy. I want to be dangerous to the enemy. I want him to be nervous that I'm walking with God. Because when we're walking with God, we can be dangerous to the enemy. Do you want that? Because if you do, that means you have a bigger target on your back for the dragons and demons that want to destroy you. If you're living here, they'll let you be. You're no threat. But if you're walking with God in the 3D world, they're going to go after you. It's not fake. Adam lived 930 years. There's a spiritual world that we can't see with enemies that want to wreck us. And if you take this seriously, if you live in the 3D world walking with God, they're going to come after you. I can't tell you exactly what that's going to be like, when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, but it's real. So even though it puts a bigger target on me, my God is big enough for that. We can handle that. We can get through that. It's okay. I want to live in that world. Do you? Yes. I like to see nods. There's several people nodding. And we have to live in the 2D world too, guys. It's not like, okay, quit your job. No problem. We got a new world to live in. You have to live in the 2D world. It's part of what God's given you. We have to do it. We have to do it. Got to go to work. Got to eat. It's part of the plan, part of what God has. But I want to get under the surface. I want to live for more. There's a men's conference this coming weekend. A bunch of you guys signed up for it. It's called No Regrets. I think it might help take us the next step, those of us who are doing that. It's not too late to sign up if you want to do that. There's a poster on the wall. I think there's something in your program. You can still get in if you're male, 12 and over, and want to be part of that. But guys, we're talking about the becoming more like God, reflecting his image. The Bible calls that sanctification. Everybody say sanctification. Sanctification. Yeah, it's this big church word. It's kind of like basic training for the spiritual battle. God's like, you want to do that? I'm going to help you. I'll strengthen you. I'll prepare you. I'll equip you. He'll help us get the dirt off. He'll help us condition us, strengthen our spiritual muscles, give us armor, give us weapons, give us what we need, the ability to see and participate in the 3D world. This is how he prepares us for war. And ultimately, it's how he makes us a more clear reflection of himself. Not something we can do ourselves, something that happens as we surrender ourselves to him. Okay. I give you my 2D world, you give me the 3D world. It's a good swap. I got to let go of my tiny story to become part of the bigger story. It starts all the way back in Genesis 1. He's still writing it. You want that? Believe it's all true. Embrace. You can know God and become. My design, my destiny is to reflect God. What's the difference between 2D and 3D? In a normal everyday world. I went to Ethan's basketball game the other day. I can go to a basketball game in 2D, sit through the game, cheer for the team, go home. Or I can recognize there are people there. I can look into people's eyes. I can engage with the people who are there. I can invite somebody to join me at the game. And I can pray for the students who are on the court facing some adversity. I can think of people as people. I can watch for conversations God might want me to have. That's the difference. When life gets stressful, 2D, I can do whatever, I'm going to do whatever I can to get out of it. 3D, I can ask God, what do you want me to learn from it? Right? So what's the difference between 2D and 3D for you? That's something to chew on. That's something to think about. What's the difference between 2D and 3D for you? Here's what Jesus said. I'm wrapping up. I promise. Jesus said this, Mark chapter 8, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. It's 2D, 3D. Don't cling to the 2D, shallow life. God has so much more for us. We have to want it, go after it. So I got three next steps for you guys to think about. Just take a look at these. What are your hopes tied to? What would God say of you? This person lived this many years and then they died. Or this person walked with God. Just take a minute and then we'll sing together.
God, would you help us? Help us to see more clearly.
I think all of us want to live a meaningful life. None of us want to be stuck in the 2D world. We want to engage with you. So Lord, help us do that. Enoch walked with you. We want to walk with you too. And so Lord, each person, we're all in different spots, different places, have different needs, and the next steps could be different for every single person. But walk with us into those next steps. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to sing this song. This is a song my daughter taught me. And she played the piano, and I would hear her playing and singing this song downstairs in our basement. And I just really appreciate that this is a song she loved and just the heart that she has to want to sing this and want to sing this to God. So hopefully you can sing this to God with me. Would you rise to your feet? Bring yourself to Him.
Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering, oh, surrendering, oh. Find me here, Lord, as you draw. For you, I'm desperate for you. I surrender. To know you more.
a rushing wind,
like a rushing wind. Jesus, breathe within. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a mighty storm, stir within my soul. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a rock.
Your heart. Well, we're kind of out of time. We have one more song. You guys want to do one more song? Yeah, one more. All right. This is we got one vote for you. That's all we need. We just need one vote. Thank you, Travis. You Are My Vision. It's from Be Thou My Vision. It's very similar, slightly different. So hopefully you can pick it up.
You're my soul shepherd.
All right. You guys can have a seat. Shannon, come on up.
All right. Coming up this week, home groups are in session, and this week is a meal night. So if you haven't checked out a home group yet or you haven't been going, meal nights are a great night to start going. So there's info in your program about where they are and when they are, so consider joining one of them. Also, if you ever feel compelled, you can fill out the connection card with prayer requests, or if you want to get involved, you can list how you'd like to participate on here and put it in the offering box, which we keep at the back, the wooden box on top of the little black fridge. We are also looking for more volunteers for the children's program. So if anybody is gifted in working with children and enjoys that, let who? P-Nate? Rick? Anybody? Just somebody know that you would like to do that, or you can put it on your connection card. And we would love to have to grow our ranks in the volunteering with the children's programs. There's also something you can be in prayer for. A new Oasis youth group is starting up on Thursday, February 6th. So just pray that that's a good start. The Oasis after school program that meets here with the Kutztown Middle School and High School students has really grown and is doing well. So this youth group sounds like an awesome next step and maybe one that will grow some more young people in their relationship with Christ. So be in prayer for that. And check out your program for more information on what's happening. And otherwise, that's all I have. Have a good week. You can fellowship downstairs and enjoy the heat wave that is coming. So, 40s. Woo!